Channel One over, and the beginning of Faye's report, and I don't have the date for it. This is Faye reporting. This is Faye reporting. This is Faye reporting on her visit to George Wilde. This is Faye reporting to George Wilde. Well, I've been trying to. I'll do that
first. I want to do it because I'm putting some things away.
Well, I'd like to be able to sit down a minute.
Yeah.
But you go ahead and put your stuff away,
okay,
whatever you want to
put it away.
You're going to quit or you're going to keep doing it?
I'm just going to get Dr. Page to sit down.
Well, I've had a good bit of rattling, you see, already.
Yeah.
If I got to keep that up, I'll
I've
do
had
it.
More than I want to.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Now, what you got to sit way over there for, Faye?
Well, I don't know. I don't usually sit there.
You don't think I enjoy this? I got to go along with somebody,
sure.
You see. I got to have somebody to work with.
Sure. And
I put up with that for an hour and a half.
I know it.
2 hours.
2 hours.
Practically 2 hours.
Yeah.
Excluding supper.
Yeah.
All that rattle and stuff. There's absolutely nothing rational about the radio world.
Mm-mm. No.
He seems to be a specimen of it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It just touch and go with him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the tape on during that last part. That was as informed as anything I ever saw. I don't know. It just played out and I didn't see.
But you can see. Yes, he's a specimen.
Yeah. Now, what do you expect from that?
Mm-hmm.
Look what the kind of world can
yeah.
be with him in it.
Yeah.
Hell, the world's got to have a place for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're going to start.
Oh, yes, well, I'll tell you. First place, that's a pleasant drive.
Yeah. More pleasant than the other one.
Yeah. I've gone the other way, the Hawthorne way, and it's pretty nice too. But this is, I think it's a little farther this way, but it's more pleasant.
What do you mean farther?
Or maybe it's closer. I don't know. Maybe just because I didn't know.
Well, you go to Hawthorne this other way.
No, you don't.
4 or 5 miles of Hawthorne.
Well, I don't know one way or the other. But
and this way, you go into the edge of Gainesville. Now, how could this be farther?
Well, anyway, it's pleasant drive.
You've got that in your mind, that this is something. I don't know
and
how you get there.
You want me to?
I don't
so
care.
I was looking at Colonial, and I was looking at the...
I don't care how you got there. Just tell me what you saw.
I turned the wrong direction, and I asked this person,
Hey, I don't care how you got there.
But anyway,
I've learned all that trivia. I can stand now.
Okay. He said George Wild lives right there in the woods.
I don't give a damn where he lives, see?
And I went to the door,
George.
And I heard this woman say, come in. And she was in the bed, his wife, had red henna hair, and she was reading in the bed. And then I heard this voice come from the back and say, welcome to my shack. Welcome to my shack. And I said, well, it certainly wasn't hard to find, George. He said, no, everybody out here knows me. I said, well, you live in a woods. He said, I planted every tree. Highway people came by here and they took everything up. And I planted everything back. And it's a little cottage and it's set right down there and a bunch of trees right off the main road, hidden. And two bicycles out front and a mailbox. And you almost have to go in a little, well, passageway to get to it, off trees.
He likes trees.
Yeah.
Now that's something.
Yes, it is.
That's something that the old spirit didn't say.
Yeah, he's done it every one. I said, well, we just thought we'd like to get in touch with you. He said, my phone got a shake. And he had that wicked look on his face. He said, been out sick for a long time. His wife over there, in a blue gown. Something. She didn't look a bit sick. I think she spent her time reading in bed. Said, yes, and with a twinkle in her eye. It's been out of the a long time, and they thought that was a big joke. George said, I told him I had a note for you. And you were thinking that some good day he could come over, come out. And he turned to her and he said, it'd be good for you. And I said, well, this first time, I did look at your note. I said, this first time you'd better try it out by yourself. He said, I think a little business. Oh, he says, I'm not coming the first time. George had been talking to her about this trip. And they've been planning. And George says, you know, we could bike out there, and it's not more than 12 miles, and get there for dinner. He said, now tomorrow it's going to be cold. It's supposed to be cold tomorrow and Sunday. It's going to be cold. That's going to be cold on our bicycle. I said again, sort of in the offhand way, well, you'd better find out how to get there, and then you can bring her along. Well, that she understood perfectly, but George kept trying to include her. You could see, and I thought to myself, this is rare. No woman's going to tell me what to do. George's wife. She's a pampered one. Yes, sure. She's got her novels and her reading material all over the bed. She's got her writing material in a fancy box where she can reach it. She did say one time that she wasn't able to do much work. She can ride a bicycle 12 miles. Well, then she knows how to work. She's sweet. Well, anyway. George says he was supposed to go painting tomorrow. Go out with a painter and paint something. He said, I think it's going to be too cold to face.
It ought to be 70, don't you think?
He said he thought it was going to be too cold. I said, well, when you come out to Guy's place, you want to come when it's not raining, because you want to, you know, you want to be able to look around. Oh, he says, yes, sure, I want to look around. He says, I know where Ruby's bar is. There'll be any trouble with this. By the way, all that far, I said, well, when you get there, you practically have died. It's just a foot flash from there. Oh, he said it wouldn't be any trouble at all. I said, I guess he'd see you back. Well, I didn't push him about tomorrow or the next day or any day, you know, I just made it. I know he was pleased as he could be. And after some time, he said to her, this is Professor Miles' wife, you know. She right away thought of somebody she knew, or they had known, some caretaker or somebody up there, and she wondered if I knew that person, and he said, no, he didn't. He told her, no, I don't think she does know him. Well, anyway, he said it's going to take him from now on to fix up that shack. He said he hadn't done any work on it, but he'd been working out, and now he's going to fix it up. He looked around a little bit. He said, you can see, it's going to take me some time. It wasn't dirty, it was just full of stuff. Books and shoes and clothes and everything. And right in the front room was her bed. I think it must have been, it must be three rooms to it, as he said. he said, he wanted to come out. Yes, he said. And he had that twinkle, and he thought he was going to say something raquelly. I expected him to all the time, but he didn't. But he had that laugh all the time, standing in the middle of the door. She said, you mean you're going to ride 12 miles on that bicycle? She said, yes. He said, I've done it before. I've been to Mykonosis. He says, I know how to get to Mykonosis from here. It's no trouble to get from Mykonosis from here. I said, if you need to call me, you can get me in town. That's when he said his telephone was just that. But he said he could step over to the filling station, and he could call. And he asked, she said, why don't you put the number down? And I did.
It was already down. I put it in the sheet of paper.
Yeah. Well, she made it to, she had the paper and the pencil, so she wrote it down. But I wasn't expecting a country wife, but I wasn't expecting this one. But the cutest thing was when I walked up to the front of the house, there were these two bicycles. One on one side, one on the other. And just before you went in sort of this little passageway, it was this great big mailbox. Green mailbox. You couldn't see the house. You could see the mailbox and the two bicycles. Well, it's right there. It's just, and you would never expect it to be in a little woods that he'd found. And he was pleased. He was pleased. Then Jay called.
Oh, yeah, Jay called.
Jay called, and he said he had two things. One about a car. He said, you know, you have a trailer out there that that fella stayed in? I said, yeah. He said, well, he said, I think he's a perfect star for you all out there at that ranch. He's a wildlife lover and protector. He wants to live out. He's single, he's young, and a great big fella. And he can ride a tractor. He can do most anything. And he's got a trailer. He says, I know because he's working for me. And he's a fine fella. And he wants to live out about life about that way. And I just thought he could be good for you. And you'd be good for him. And he said, if there's any place that he can set a trailer out there and be on hand to help you out, I thought, this is the fella. Greg's his name. He said, you tell Guy that I wouldn't suggest him unless I thought he was all right. And if he likes to talk with him, I'll bring him out. And I said, at one time when I was talking with him, I said that the thing about it, that you had it sort of bothered you to ride the tractor and do much work. And it was hard to get anybody to help you do anything. And he kept that in his mind. And JJ was enthusiastic about it. And he's got his trailer somewhere around there, and he evidently doesn't have any problem with transportation or car or anything. He likes to be out this way. And I don't know, it just looked like it just sort of fell into, you know, things like that happen. And he'd had that in his mind.
He put it right down there with cookies and used the water.
Well, this is what I thought. Mm-hmm.
We have a little collar there on there.
Yeah. And George is no distance. The Tatterbox is no distance. 17th Street. You're there before you know it.
No distance from where?
From town.
Yeah. Fire feels good, it sounds
mm-hmm.
good, doesn't it?
And that was Debbie. And she called, she said she planned to come out and bring a typewriter. that she had, that she was working on Mr. Weaver, and he's working straight, and she said, I'm muscular. She used that word. And she planned to come out, and she's got sore throat. Half the university's got sore throat. And she said she didn't think she should be out with anybody. She'd just stay, but she'd work on it there. And she was just checking in, and she was going to tell you this, just checking in that she meant business. That's what she said. And I thought it was cute as pie.
I see the word out there was going on.
She's got temperature. She better stay put.
Well, you see, what happens is they work on what's fresh in their mind. She can't work on little Bessie, what she learned about her last summer. She got it in her notes. Well, what good does it do to have it in her notes, Faye?
This must be that Mr. Weaver, that she, what she did last Saturday.
Yes.
She was over there two or three hours, she said. So this must be what she's working on.
Yes, I've been ready for some time. You got your stuff ready? Let me tell you what I did first. If you want to know how the brainy people get along in this world, let me tell you.
Brainy people? Did you say?
For the dumbbells. You see, I had these curtains already up there. Well, I wanted to put some new ones. Well, what did I do? I measured across there just to see how wide to put them. And I got them a different width, you see, from what my brackets were. Why, I'm telling you, a man has really got to be far along before he can do that.
Well, you ought to measure your brackets and not your shade.
If I had done that, you see, I wouldn't have had to do all this cooking. Hell, I got to take this stovepipe down and everything.
Why, you got to take the stovepipe down?
So I could hammer.
Well, you didn't have to do that. Taking your little drill, and a drill and punch a hole in it, put a screw in it.
I couldn't get my drill in there. And then I couldn't get my hammer in there. Oh, shoot.
You mean that drill won't go between the wall and the stovepipe?
Yeah, it will not. It will now because I pulled it out.
That is perfect. Stovepipe out a little bit.
Yeah.
Then put your little drill, just that little drill, and put it in there.
Yeah.
Then get your screw in there. But that's the most simple way to put one of this anyway.
Well,
because you ain't hardly got room enough to drive, you know, between your crack it out that way. Take a little drill and then.
And then that wood's hard and you can't drive it out.
Yeah, and you just take a screw and it'll just screw right over the lathe.
Yeah. Well, now, you know.
Now I'm not going to climb up that helmet back first.
Hell, I got it finished. Now I got it now. I've already done my cutting. I've got it worked out. You see? And furthermore, I'd look up there and see what I had to do, and I'd put it off. These curtains have been lying around here months, you see. Just knock it on the floor. Hell, I don't care.
Yeah, but your wife, though, she don't care.
She has no law. She don't crap.
Let me tell you, I came by over there the other day. I wanted to catch you before you got back on the job, and I missed you. Your water system was up, was working. You got a nice system there. Yeah, you don't need all them rainbirds and underground.
Rainbirds knocks all your stuff one way, see. As it goes around, water goes out this way, see, and puts all your grass and your plants all one way.
Oh.
Mine, it just goes up and falls right straight back down.
Yeah. Well, now you didn't think that up all at one time. You made little improvements on it.
Well, I just went both. Yeah, I did too. But now I got a damn little rainbird. I did have.
Yeah.
But it, whenever I watered my grass one time with it, I seen to hell with this. I don't like this.
Yeah.
So I just went and got me some of the whirly birds. It just was like
this. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's.
It ought hard to put out enough water, so I'm just going to take me a little bit bigger drill and go in there and drill me a bigger hole in the flutter.
That's right.
You
good.
See, the water pushes that around anyway,
yeah.
You see.
Yeah.
It shoots up, just come right straight back down. And the reason why I got it up to high that way, because it does the plants more good. There's more plant oxygen, you see, it gathers oxygen as it comes back down.
Yeah.
You put one up about 15 feet high, get one up around 15 feet high, it's almost equal to a rain.
Oh.
You know, rainwater is a beat well water
any day. I see, yeah. Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
And as your water comes down, it gathers oxygen out of the air, you see, and comes on down and puts the plant food in the plant.
I see. I hadn't thought of that.
Now, if you don't believe this is true, you just set one right down on the ground, see, and water with it. And then set one up over another place over yonder and water with it.
Mm-hmm.
And watch the difference in the plant.
Well,
that's all you got to do.
Let me tell you, I want to kind of watch you a little bit every now and then, every week or two, and pick up a few points. Now, I
got no damn points worth a damn.
Well, you have too. Your rainbird, and then your whirly bird, and then your fertilizing system. Tell me you haven't got points.
You work it the way I work mine, and it might not work.
I don't want to work the way you work yours, but I want to see. You see, I can tell more by seeing. Let me tell you, you know, people have explained to me things, and I haven't got the faintest idea what I'm talking about. The first time I worked on the termites here, they told me and told me and told me how to do it, and I was just afraid to get started. The fella come out here, and he got down on his knees there, and just took his hands and ditched around those pillars. And he took the, we made up this stuff. I made a drum of it, you see. And I had it on the back of the tractor. And I had a hose in it. And he just turned on the hose and kept it, let it run as long as it would soak.
Who's the ladies?
Oh, they are horse ladies.
Horse ladies.
Yes.
They look horsey.
Catwalkers. Well, after that, you see, no trouble. Well, you just.
Why did you put it out with the pressure, air pressure in your drum?
It's just up a little higher than that. And I just had a hose to, so I wouldn't have to handle it, you see.
I told Freddie Woods. Treat his land for a beetle. I said, now you got your pump on your tractor and you got the drum and everything.
Yeah.
Set your relief valve where it knocks off at about a 10-pound pressure. Then take your pipe, run out on each side of your practice, and put your little scooter, have your little plow, see, run that, and run them little pipes right down behind your plow, the healing plow.
Yeah.
And have a little sprayer on it where it spray out.
Yeah.
And put your pressure on your drum, then open your valve and get right down in. Let that come right in behind your plow, about that fur from the plow.
Yeah.
And spray that stuff out, and then your plow will cover it back up and run a roller over it and bury it and pack the dirt up on top of it. It'll spread out all under your ground. The plow's about that far from it. Yeah, you got it made. Or you could run another plow right behind that and throw the dirt on it.
Yeah. All in one trip.
Mm-hmm. Get some half inch copper tubing.
Yeah.
And run your little holes and make it. It kind of be aggravating for a start with to make it, but whenever you get it made, then have it fixed the way you set it off, put it up there under a shelter someplace.
What happened to old Sally Mountain, old J.R.?
I don't know. He's, I don't know where J.R.'s working. J.R. can't keep a job. His mouth, he mouths too damn much.
Oh, he just carries on all the time. You got to know him. He don't mean anything, does he?
I don't know. I don't fool with him. Buster's all I can stand.
Well, I mean, he hurt himself.
Who?
J.R.
Hurt yourself with his mouth?
No, he fell off. He got a bad knee. He can't walk.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I went over there to borrow something from him a week or two ago, and he had an operation on it, and the thing, he got to take painkillers around the clock.
I didn't know that.
Well, I'll be dying.
I went home.
It was just accidental. I knew it.
You know, I went home Saturday, last Saturday from here. Told you I burned brushy.
Yeah.
A pile of logs. Got out there Saturday morning. Sunday morning, push them up. See, get them all up together where they're all in. See, where they burn up. Damn, if I didn't hurt my back, I'd been in one hell of shape. I worked. But if it had been this morning, I wouldn't have worked because I couldn't get up hard.
Oh, don't tell me.
So I think it's more or less arthritis. I'm going to, whenever I get back home, I'm going to have a wife put some Sloan's liniment on.
Yeah.
That's Sloan's liniment. Hell on arthritis.
Let me tell you. Now this is, I stood there and talked to J.R. And he's sitting out there in the back end of his, in the tailgate of his truck. We'll be here in a minute.
Okay.
The tailgate of his truck.
Well, you can come on in.
In the sun. She got something to do. In the tailgate of his car there in the sun, flinging his feet, exercising thing a little bit. And I smelled something. I said, J.R., what in the world I smell? Well, he says that's a remedy. He says old Lee gave me that. He lives out of Fairfield, in Flemington. I said, I know Joe Lee. He's a veterinary. Well, he says that's what he give me. He give me absorbin. He says, don't get the kind for humans. Get the absorbin for veterinary use. And he was putting that on there, and it apparently just went right in there and hit the spot. He said wherever he put that, the pain quit.
Absorbing.
Comes in a great big bottle.
You used to could get, and I can now. Joe Wise got me three or four bottles. Gumbolts, Calls, and Bolts. You ever heard of it?
Say it again.
Gumbolts, Calls, and Bolts.
No, I never heard of anything like that.
My God, it's hell of a weed. We had a spring halted mule. Horses, mules. We never did have no damn horses. See, we logged with mules. And a swinny on a horse, on a mule, right up in his flank up there, his hind legs, his point up there. And there's a leader come down. Well, that damn leader would jump out, you see, and he swinted right then.
Oh.
And he can't back up. He can't hardly go whenever he first starts. And he's crippled all the time because that leader hurts, you see. And he definitely can't back up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd take that gumbo called Balsam and make that mule make him back up and put your two fingers on that leader. And as he starts to back up, slip it back, and
oh.
slip it back in place. The leader's about as big as your finger. It's very easily done. And then rub his leg over Gumbo's cross ball, really rub it good and blister it. And probably then it won't come out more than a year or something like that. I have rubbed them that never did come out anymore.
Uh-huh.
And but that stuff's damn good for arthritis. It stinks like hell, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it really stinks.
Well, let me tell you something.
Satellite?
Yeah.
Batteries?
Oh, it's got a regular figure down there.
Big part?
It's got a regular cord that goes right down there.
Oh, yeah.
That's just to weight it down. And you know, these lamps come with just that little bitty old base,
mm-hmm.
and you just knock them over, come and go on. I just waited that little. Let me tell you, I don't care, from my experience with arthritis, I don't care how it smells. If I can get a little relief, I'll use it. That darn arthritis.
That damn so hurts, don't it?
Yes, sir.
And the hell of it is, it don't hurt nobody but you. So,
no.
Nobody gets no sympathy.
Well, where did you have all that experience with mules?
My daddy run a 12-mule farm.
12-mule farm? Yeah.
He also was not a turpentine man, but a log man, sawmill man,
yeah.
and a crosstie man.
Yeah.
He was a woodsman.
Yeah.
They used to drive timber down the river.
Yeah.
And they didn't haul it. They didn't have trucks and nothing.
Yeah.
It's too damn fur to haul on a mule and wagon. So we did put in a timber drive up the river around Bellwood, Alabama, and all up in there, and fill top of the Hatchie River full of timber.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it would be square timber, and some of it would be round timber. And I made timber drives on the damn river.
Mm-hmm.
I was small. I kept cook and things like that. Put a raft, you'd build a raft about as nearly as wide as this room, 16, 18 feet long, 20 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And put your cook stove and bedded and everything on that. Build a little damn house on it.
Is that
shelter
right?
Over.
Is that right? So
you sleep under that and cook and everything under that.
Uh-huh.
Hell, I made 2-3 drives on the river.
Uh-huh.
I'm an old goddamn coon. I know a lot of damn things that people don't know today.
Well, people don't know much today. They don't learn much. They just sail along the highway.
That's right. My grandson, now he's getting him a ride from Micanopy to his work. The man that works on the same job with him, he's gonna ride with him. But he's going to pick his ride up at Thrift service station down there at Micanopy, side of 441. You know where it's at, that's
yeah.
the old Thrift station.
That, uh-huh.
And now he can't walk from the house where I live down there to pick his ride up. He's got to drive his car down there and get this man to let him park his car down there the afternoon when he comes back in.
Yeah.
He can't walk from there down there.
How about that?
And you know, whenever I was raising my family one time during the Hoover administration, times were hard then.
Yeah.
And a fellow got a job he had to go to.
Yeah.
9 damn miles. I had a job 9 miles from home.
Yeah.
And I'd get up in the morning, my wife get my breakfast and fix my lunch, and I'd walk that goddamn 9 miles and be there at work time. And then whenever I got off from work, I'd walk that damn 9 miles back home.
I used to walk 3 miles, between 3 and 4 miles from town out to the river bottom where I went swimming and fishing. And, you know, I didn't walk to a job like you do. And it took a good while to get there.
Well, it didn't take me so damn long. I imagine I'd walk that 9 miles an hour in 20 minutes and run it.
Yeah.
Of course,
jogging.
I'd cut corners.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go around a damn road. I'd climb a fence and cut off a corner, you see.
Yeah.
A thing like that.
When did you come down here? How old are you? Or when was
I've been down here 40 years.
1973. You come in the 30s.
Yeah.
And after Hoover.
Yeah. Now, Hoover just began to break up a little bit whenever I come down here. The depression was just beginning to ease up.
Yeah. Some little something was going.
It wasn't easy. It wasn't plumb easy whenever I come down here. Begin to ease up a little bit. By the time Roosevelt was elected president.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And whenever he was elected president, it began to ease up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he got little money circulating.
Yeah, he got a little bit of money circulating.
Yeah. He had all these programs. I was growing up then, you see, I was pretty far along then. And some of them programs was all right that they had.
Some of them up there the other day was talking about during Hoover's administration about how hard it was to live, things like that. I told him, you know, you talk about it now, kids now, they don't believe a damn word of it.
Mm-hmm.
They think you're telling a damn lie because they are youngins, you know, and they want them to be, you know, a little bit more economical and things like that, see, well. So they just damn sure don't believe it. But, you know, you couldn't get a job. There wasn't no such damn thing as getting a job. Now, you could, me and by that, Mr. Meyer, a regular job, you see, like I've got now, you couldn't do that. Because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Where there was one, well, there was a half dozen men.
Yeah.
There was a goddamn line as long as from here, them woods over yonder, waiting for another man to fall out so another could walk in.
Yeah.
Well, I told them that my kids and my old lady have 3 meals a day now. They might it might have not been damn thing for milk and buttermilk and cornbread. Some of their meal. Some of it'd be biscuit and syrup. Sometimes it'd be cornbread and syrup. No meat. And a lot of the gravy is you put a little bit of flour and grease in the damn fryer and salt and brown it, put some water in it and eat that with cornbread or biscuit or something like that. But I said my kids and my wife and myself always had a full belly. 3 times a day. We filled our belly up 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
We never did go hungry. But I said, I'll tell you what I have done. I went to a person's house and cleaned out some of his old outdoor privy, dug a damn hole, and cleaned out some of his privy and put it in that hole and covered up. I've done that. That, by God, any damn thing in the world that I could do to make a $100 with, I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
That is some damn things that I done right then wasn't honest, but I made it honest. Later on, I made it honest.
Okay.
I didn't have nothing. I didn't have no damn money. We had to have a little something to eat. We had to have a little something from the store. You couldn't get no credit. That fella wouldn't let you have damn thing on credit because no goddamn way for you to pay it. You didn't have a job. How in the hell was you going to pay it?
Yeah.
Well, there was a big store there in Geneva. Had 3 or 4 clerks in the grocery store.
Yeah.
I think had 4 clerks in. Well, I'd go there and talk to one man. I'd go get a gallon of cooking oil out of a drum and carry a surplus with me and throw it full of cooking oil. Uh-huh. And I'd go sit down inside the wall.
Yeah.
That's why I'd go back in there and talk to another. A few minutes, I could get a sack of flour and put some there. And I never did pay for a damn minute. Whenever I got ready to go, I just gathered all up, carried out, put it on the wagon, and take it over home and pay the damn thing. But I kept an account of it.
Yeah.
See, I charged it to myself, and I had a little book to put it all there.
I never heard anything like that.
Well, whenever I moved down here and got a job, I saved a little money.
Uh-huh.
and I went back home, and I taken that little book with me.
Yeah.
I think I owed the man $78 and so. $78 and some few cents.
Yeah.
Old Dan Chapman was in there. I take that little book in there, give it to his bookkeeper, told her to run it up, tell him how much it was. Each damn one of them was itemized. You know what it was, syrup, bacon, no damn bacon, syrup, lard, and sugar, and matches, such, every damn thing on that was itemized. So she run it up, $78 and some few cents, I don't remember, said, and I told her, give Mr. Chapman the money. I says, I owe you this. He said, no, I says, you don't know what's anything. I said, yeah, I do. And I explained it to him. What I done. He got up, stood up, put his damn arm around my shoulder, said, they went up there and made another goddamn man in the state of Alabama that would have done that. Now, they might have loaded the damn stuff out of here, but they would have never come back in your paper. They would have never kept up with it on the book.
Yeah.
In your paper. I said, well, Mr. Chapman, I guess you could have called it stealing.
Yeah.
But I says, I didn't call it stealing. I ain't stolen a thing in the world. I'm in the paper. And he says, well,
you just borrowed it.
He says, he says, you wouldn't have let me have it. I said, I had to have it. So that was the way I got it.
Don't you miss them old stories?
Yep. But, you know, old Dan Chapman from then on, yeah, if I'd have got on him and then got in tight for a little bit of money, I could have wrote him a letter or called him.
Yeah.
And he would have sent me some damn money. He would have used up on me.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, it don't cost no man, not one damn thing in the world, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
You mean it'll come back to him?
It'll come back to him.
Yeah.
If you ever need a recommendation, and it's got this damn time that you can't get a job no place without you give a recommendation.
No.
Because the first thing they ask you is, where did you work last?
Yeah.
Well, whenever you say where you worked last, you've done give that place for a rest.
Yeah. And they're gonna check on you now.
They're gonna check on you. Damn right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I never even heard of anything like that until I was way along. Right. I never had any recommendations. When I asked for a job, I never got any recommendations. Why, you know, let me tell you, the way they get these jobs around here now, I don't care who it is, in the city hall or over on the campus.
A job that's worth a damn.
Yeah. They gotta have a little book almost.
Yeah. That's right.
Showing the places they work and they
the
gotta
honest have and everything.
Gotta have letters on what they done while they was there.
Up yonder. At Ridgeway, where I work, I pick up old brake shoes, old windshield wiper motors, old master cylinders, brake cylinders, old things like that, see, that can be reworked,
mm-hmm.
Shock absorbers and all like that, they can be reworked and put them up. So I told Mr. Barker, the man come around, he found out I'd like to know because I had a whole lot of this stuff I was going to sell. The shop foreman that fired David Stone, they fired him yesterday, was a week ago, and I didn't know it. I told him that David Stone told me that I could put up this stuff and men come around and redeem it. I could take and put the money in my pocket, but I said, that ain't right. I said, I'll sell it. I told David, I said, they ain't damn thing right about that. I said, I won't do it. I said, I'll take that.
Now, what was it he was going to let you do?
Take up all them old brake shoes and master cylinders and shock absorbers and old alternators and things like that, see. And salvage them, and whenever the man come back around, you see, they're rebuildable, you see.
Oh, I see.
They sell them to these men, they take them back and rebuild.
Oh, I see.
Reline the brake shoes and things like that.
So he's going to let you pick them up and sell them to the firm.
Yeah, and put that money in my pocket.
Yeah.
Which they'd be sold in the dump. But I wouldn't do that. I picked them up and put them up. Man come by the other day and take them up. He'd take them up Thursday, I believe. Thursday, Friday, or Thursday. So you take them up. I had $25 for it. I kept the sparking to them, but kidding. I said, now, you can put this over to one side. Then when we need some all dry, or broom, or something other like that, you can take it out of the kit in and never go back into the shop. And you see, it won't be charged the shop, it won't be charged no damn money. Because it is actually the shop's money. But otherwise, it would have been thrown away, and there's no use in throwing it away when you put it up, and it could be reused or something other like you. That, like that, you get the money out of it. So we get brooms and all dry and such that way. I'll put it up like you say.
That's how you know.
Go to hell, if I'd mind.
You know, I didn't know they did. I didn't know that stuff could be salvaged.
Oh, yeah.
They take them and rework them.
Oh, yeah. Any damn thing like that, it can be reworked and made as good as new.
Mm-hmm.
Alternator, carburetor, an old carburetor, anything like that. It can be reworked.
Yeah, I'd figure a carburetor could.
You know, you can get reworked carburetors, reworked alternators. And
that's about all you get, is reworked carburetors.
No, you can buy brand new.
It costs too much more.
Well, I always put new stuff on my car. Hell, the used stuff, I don't care.
Yeah. The new stuff is poor enough.
You can say, even take air filters and I've never known a fuel filter, but air filters, you can get them. You can go to West and Austin, and that's about all that you can get there is a reworked air filter. And I wouldn't put one on my car.
Oh, is that right? Is that what you got? Let me tell you, pull your stop, and get back to work. I want you to. I want you to tell me another story about Wild. I never saw him twice, you understand. But he's a bird. I may never see him again.
Well, what was it about?
Well, he everything he said was cattywampus. He says he laughed and he says this damn world is getting so crazy, and he'd blow. You heard him blow?
Yeah. Well, I'll go along with George on that. It ain't getting crazy, it's getting crooked.
Yeah.
Did you know that you can't buy no gasoline there?
In this whole area?
In this whole damn area, as I know of, every damn pump blocked off.
I'll be done. Have to wait till next week.
I don't know. When the hell are you going to unblock it?
Well, somebody told me there's plenty of gasoline in Tampa. But the government had it locked up.
Well, now, there wasn't no gas in Tampa 2 weeks ago because my granddaughter was there and wanted to come home, and she's afraid to come. So afraid she couldn't get no gas. There was plenty here then.
Well, yes. It's just in storage down there. And he said, "Hey, where are you? Come on in here and sit down a minute. We got a..." Now that damn thing, you know what happened? You know, I didn't know you could get windows, you see, that cut the light out and then some that don't. That's nice. I got these at Murphy's.
Well, them that don't cut the light out, better.
Well, over here, I sit over there generally where you are, and I'm looking out here, and it gives me the squint.
I'm
not gonna sit down.
He ain't in account this morning, Faye. He got his back stove up.
Yeah, he's climbing up.
When he went home last Saturday.
My goodness.
He went out there and started pushing stuff around.
And I can't hardly walk.
My God.
That's right.
And I told him about that veterinary absorbine that J.R. was using out there that he got from Jolie, and he told me one better. Tell her, what is that?
No, that's one of them. Oh, gumbolt calls from Boston.
Yeah.
Gumbolt.
Gumbolt calls from
Boston. Well,
you never heard of that.
I trust you use it.
No, I ain't got none. I just have to go wife to get me some.
He's going to get some more. He's going to get some.
Why are you going up the top with them, old man?
They won't go to the bottom. And then I got a thing to put across there. You know, I got one over there.
Yeah,
too,
I got a curtain.
But it's not up. Hand me that thing. Let me see. Did I put something in over here?
Gosh, I know you didn't know.
Well, let me have it. Let me try it once more. The curtain.
That's backwards. Yeah. I think this is the meanest job there is.
I told
put a curtain up is as mean as any job you can do.
Yeah,
the way I'm doing it is meaner than anything.
Push it up a little bit now.
Yeah, the way I'm doing it is I'm really doing it
the hard way.
I'm really doing it, the hard way. Get this old nail out of here. Fall down. I'm telling you, it looks to me like a man could at least have a few onions and collards.
Oh, they smell so good.
They are.
What?
Those onions back there. Ooh!
What's the season on onions?
Anytime.
Down a little bit on the inside.
Right about there?
Yeah.
But now you look at it, here's where you get it, right down
there.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that's it. Now what you did with that little bracket?
I got it, one of them in my hand.
Okay.
What you ought to do is mark it better, then.
That'd be simple, wouldn't it? It'd be simple.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you want a piece of carpentry now, you just watch this. Now I'm gonna have a roof now.
Okay.
Where's your screw, man? Your screwdriver?
Yeah, nail. Would be easier, wouldn't it?
Well, he wouldn't bump his finger and bend his bracket and nothing.
Yeah, these little things. Now you take the chance on both of them, doing both.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure sorry about that back. That's it.
He didn't know. I told him I was over at J.R.'s the other day, and when I saw him, he told me about that absorbing. He didn't even know J.R. had busted his knee.
I hadn't seen J.R. Mountain 9 months, I don't believe.
Yeah.
I believe he said he had an operation. They went in and had surgery on that back before Christmas. And he still can't wiggle much. He's right over there all the time. Just sitting over there and can't do anything. So I told him he ought to.
That suits him when he can't get to work, he can't do nothing.
He ought to get a little poker game started or something like that, you see. That'd be better than sitting there feeling sorry for yourself.
You ain't feeling sorry for yourself.
He not?
No.
He knows.
It's the shade that's cooking. It's not the top flaming, let's see, is it?
That's the shade that's cooking.
Yeah, the shade that's cooking.
That's
right.
That's.
Really, don't you? That'll all be hidden at that stop.
Well. Not well, right? Oh, well.
Oh, well.
What is too close?
That's the eyes better than it was. It's a little high, but.
Yeah.
We can go by the other one.
Next time I build a house, I'm going to go and get the damn thing out. Next time I build a house, I'm going to make it have a few shortcuts. This is good, heavy stuff, this curtain. If I'd had these to start with, I wouldn't have to put up any new ones.
That's
better.
Now you got it too high.
I think you're that crooking.
Yeah, a little crooking. Okay.
Sorry you left Alabama?
Yes, sir. No, but I'd like to go back now. I'd like to go back to Alabama now.
So visit or stay?
Stay. People like to tell you too damn much what you can do down here and what you can't do. I don't like.
They seem to be getting worse about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All over the state of Florida, it's getting like that.
Yeah.
How do you account for that?
Well, it's a money man that's doing it.
Oh, I see.
He talks about democracy. We don't have it no more. We're going back into Hitlerism.
We don't have much of it. You don't see it very often.
You know, the night they had such a fight down to the schoolhouse about the water and everything.
Yeah.
I told them that night they ought to take down that damn United States flag up there and put them a swastika up there.
Now, what was that? What night was that up there? Was I up there?
I don't know. That was the night they were having such a wrangle about Mr. Sheffield moving a trailer in on a place down there. She got that trailer, though.
Well, what are they trying to do about telling people not to put trailers in?
They won't let you move a trailer in there. Or wouldn't then. I think they've let up on that a little bit now.
They won't.
Coy Blacklin and Evelyn, they won't be a king then, Mr.
Well, what
does
it want? Everybody build a big house?
Yeah, I'm going to build a house.
Let me tell you, the way things are now, if I didn't have a house, I couldn't build one. Not the way things are now. Everything is clear. You talk about rich men. Well, I don't know what the rich man's well or what it is. But you sure not a poor man's work.
How'd I miss it the whole end? What'd you do? Get it too wide apart?
Uh-huh.
Mash them in a little bit.
It's too far to mash. Well, what do you mean?
Bend each one of them in a little.
But I don't, I work, it won't stand inspection. Madeline.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised that that you got it.
I tried to get Mr. Spear to give me tell me another story about old George, that fella you met up there, the old George Wow. He's something. I wish you'd have him out here to eat with you again. Invite me over there too. We'd get him going. He looked to me like, from the way he talked, he something happens when he comes around.
No, George is very quiet.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he's a pretty good talker.
I always thought a lot of old George.
You never went to eat up at his house?
No.
Oh, there's a lot of them fellas. I don't know hardly anybody up there. And you know, when I went up there working up there on the campus, I knew everybody around my district, the area there. Now I don't know any of them. And for one thing, they took out all the white people and put in the black.
Yeah.
And then they started taking the blacks out and putting these fellows from the
foreign countries.
Sunland Training Center.
Is that right?
They had a lot of them at one time. And you'd come up and talk to a fella and he wouldn't give you much satisfaction, and what you'd come to find out was that he was one of those fellows out there and he couldn't think very well. And they were putting them around. So I just got lost track of what was going on out there. He said you're not going to get anything out of him this morning.
What?
Let me tell you, Faye.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what we were talking about, how to go with that water system he's got over there. I told him that rainbird that he got over there, he got high up, you see, where it'll turn around.
Yeah.
And the sprinkle, he says, the thing about having it high up is it gets to be more like rain water, you see. It comes through the air and gets a little oxygen in it.
Yeah, it gathers oxygen like rain does when it comes through the air.
So it's better to have it high.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
I never had thought of that.
But it ain't a rainbird, though.
No.
Rainbird's
a whirly bird. Whirly bird.
Yeah. It's just a front that just turned.
Yes, it's
yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
Did you get all that? Did you get your burning done?
Yes.
So you're ready for your tomato as soon as
yeah.
The weather moderates. Mm-hmm. Well, you can put tomatoes in as early as you want to, because while they're growing off, if it gets a little bit nippy for them, you can just stick a tub over them or something, can't you?
Yeah, get a piece of paper and do it.
Oh, will that do?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just keep frost up. I got pepper bushes sprouted out.
Mm-hmm.
I covered them up last night. That's a frost, not frost.
Yeah.
It's hot pepper. So kind of outrageous, it's hot.
Red?
No, it turns red
yeah.
Whenever it gets ripe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's green to start with, but boy, it ain't nothing hard you find either.
You know, there's nothing I like as much as hot stuff and hot stuff like that. And you know, I haven't eaten any of that stuff in years. Somewhere along the line, you see, I got to figure the kind of food a fella ought to eat is plain food, not even seasoned too much, you see. And you know, I just go crazy over some of that stuff. You know, you can buy these link sausages and some just old plain bologna that really, let me tell you, it's got taste to it. Let me tell you, one of the cutest things I ever saw in my life. I don't know what it was. I was over there and Buster was carrying on one time. He was talking about that dog is being so smart. I said, Buster, that dog of yours, he hasn't got enough sense. He don't look to me like he's a brainy dog. And you know what he did? He called him over there and he says he'll talk. He'd count for you. One, two, three, you know the trick.
Yes.
And what Buster did, he walked in Mr. Weaver's store there and got him three or four slices of that bologna and come out there. And I never saw an animal just go crazy like that dog did. He liked that bologna so well, he would do anything.
He'd
stand on his head or turn flips or anything. I never saw it. I never saw it.
That little white dog.
Yeah. Is he still there?
Nah, I think somebody run over and killed him.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a trained dog. I forget what it was, but he'd count. Busted hold of his fingers or something. I forget he.
I don't see anybody down there anymore much.
No. Making up the barracks right there.
Well, where do you hang out? Where do you see anybody? Just stay at home?
I stay home.
Golly, that used to be the liveliest little place. You could go down there and talk to anybody.
Well, Buck, the mayor went out of business there.
Yeah.
They put in that antique store there, and there's nobody. A few people go to that antique store, but you know, it used to just gather around Buck and drink beer and things like that. But they don't do that anymore.
And there's no place that red and white clothes.
Yeah, red and white clothes there.
Went out of business.
And this old man that runs J.E.'s store down there bought out J.E. I think they're pretty nice people. I haven't got acquainted with them. I just went there once in a while by some, you know, something. It cost you about twice as much to get it in Gainesville, and I'm in Gainesville every day anyway, see, and I won't be saying
that. That's right, it cost you about twice as much.
Yeah, so.
Where do you buy in Gainesville? Any particular place?
Yeah, I always buy Pants Fried.
Yeah.
But that next piece a little bit.
Yeah. What's the trip up there?
Yeah, you go coming this and that on the South Main down there. I mean, North Main. Down in the niggers and that, you can't run around and a big old fat sloppy nigger woman will go to the store and take about a half a dozen little nigger youngins and running around there and you run a cart up against one or over his toe or something there like that and you're in trouble right then.
Mm-hmm.
So we quit going there and we go next to see his robots. There ain't no niggers up there too much.
Mm-hmm.
Out on a Westgate shopping center. I don't know how it is out there, but once in a while we go at A&P's out there, but A&P's terrible high too.
You know,
I missed
A&P when moving from there on.
It's out on 16th.
Way out there. You see, that's out of my my
You got on next to Waldo Road out there. And turn off that little old American station on 16th and pull down there. About a block and a half, just on the right.
Well, that's too far for me, you see. I won't go.
Well, you don't save anything out there much, do you, at A&P?
Not too much, no. But whenever we go to A&P now, we don't go through town. So we go around town and hit Waldo Road and go that way.
Hey,
practicing.
What are your riders doing now?
They're working on the saddles.
Yeah. You know what you do? I want him to see it.
They're right out there with all the packs.
Let's walk out there and see them little tights.
What kind of hell, man? I see girls' tights on.
And you haven't seen anything like this. They come out here to work.
Seen like that.
They work on the horses. They work on the tack, and they're out there just cleaning that tack like everything. You don't see any youngsters who work
Then they're gonna work these horses out. They just showing it.
And they so businesslike about it.
Oh, they are businesslike.
I told them if they came out here to work with the horses, they couldn't tie me down because I was going to be in and out. Oh, they said, we won't bother you. We'll just work.
Yeah.
Where's the horses at?
Right out there.
In the pasture out there.
They're probably up there listening with them, aren't they?
I don't think they've come up yet. They didn't want them to come up till they got the saddles ready.
Oh, I see. They didn't want them to be bothered with them.
They're out there practicing on cattle knots, too.
Oh, I bet. You got them on that.
Have you got a rotor tiller?
No.
No.
I got a harrow.
Oh,
you don't want to do it.
You have to crack. Use that. That's too much. Then if you had a rotor tiller, they used to till that ground out and raise some money.
I got some ground fixed down there.
Oh, yeah.
All I got to do is put them in.
Well, there's plenty of plants in town.
Well, let me tell you. See, I can't ride the tractor. I get irritation from it, and then I have to start taking sulfur. And last year, I went ahead and rode the sulfur, the tractor, and took sulfur while I was riding it.
I left her drive.
But
I can do it.
Might do that.
Your hair got a hydraulic lift on it?
Yeah. I got a fellow in mine come out here and live out here and handle some of this stuff. See, a lot of the work I can do. I just can't ride the tractor.
That's a real mean thing, too, when you... Yeah, rather ride that tractor than anything in the world.
Well, I used to work a mule, and you see, before I worked a mule, I used to be in a gang of people hoeing and all like that. So, I feel more at home out there than I do in here fooling around with a typewriter. See, I spend most of my time behind the damn old typewriter. If you want to go back, you just get your typewriter and stand up there and fiddle with it.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, sir. You wish you had a mule by the time you do that a while.
I wasn't working off it. Oh, Lord.
Well, just look at that tree. Well, that's just since we saw it.
How'd you do it?
I just raised my back right in there.
Right in there?
Yeah.
Just pulling something around you?
Oh, it's well, and I one time I just turned around, threw the shovel over like that. And something hit my back like that. 2 hours I couldn't get up and down.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Slip a disc.
No.
Well, what you done about it?
Be still and let you get well.
You don't exercise is not is not the same.
Have you been going to work?
I work all the time.
That's really keeping still.
Well, yeah. That's getting along all right till I put on a soft pack the other day and it kind of ranked again.
No. You don't want to do that.
I'd just come back from the manifold all the way back to put on one. Kind of ranked around a little bit.
Sometimes they're sort of mean. You get them that way, you can't.
No, I got chisels and things, air hammers and things like that. Too.
Yeah.
I don't have to take no hammer and beat it, nothing like that. You can use air.
Yeah. Well, even that can get you hung up every now and then.
Mm.
Especially if you already got it checked back there.
But I'm telling you, you're welcome to that. I don't want, let me tell you, sometimes standing up straight is easier on a fellow than sitting down.
Oh, woman, I wouldn't see them in these places, but I didn't know if you don't see them. What would you say? He's the whole thing, top and bottom.
Well, I appreciate you bringing them to me. You know, that's a good bet.
Say?
Is that right? Last year?